As I was kneeling before the Lord, I thought just for a few moments that all it took to get the gospel to me, and each of you could make this your story, but I think about, I'm just so glad that my dad got saved. Living in a miserable home with a mom that was hurting so bad, she just tried to drown her sorrows in alcohol and just stay drunk so she wouldn't have to face the hurt and the pain. Trying to stay away from her on a Saturday and Sunday. And then I thank God for a Sunday school teacher that would not spend their day mowing their lawn, or maybe they did that, but they found time to go out and find them, two little brothers, and invite them to come to church. And they came, and they got saved. And then thank God that my dad didn't just get saved, he tried to live for the Lord. They had no model, no model for a marriage, no model for child rearing, but went to a Bible college like this one and stayed there long enough to attract the attention of my beautiful mom, Janelle, who already accepted Jesus as a 9-year-old girl, as a twin, got saved the same day her sister got saved, got baptized simultaneously. The pastor baptized both of them at the same time. They were born together and they were born again together. Then that my mom would live pure and she would give herself to the Lord and go to that same college. And then after they graduated, 6 years later, 7 years later, I would be a little boy sitting in the back of an auditorium and hear someone say, "Do you know for sure if you died, you go to heaven?" I'm so glad that God didn't pass me over. Aren't you glad that kids can get saved? I'm glad that there was a preacher to preach and someone turned the lights on. Someone gave their tithes and offerings. And I sit there and sang out of a songbook I didn't buy. Hear a preacher I didn't support. And hear the gospel. That God would use that service and bring conviction to my heart. And then so many other people who helped me along the way. I have a lot to be thankful. We've got so much to praise Him for. And I'm glad today that we can do that for a few minutes together. Thank you, Mrs. Pescatelli, for your work on that song. And those who practiced and performed for the Lord. It's obviously the Spirit of God met with us, and I'm glad for that. I have just a few minutes. I want you to go to James chapter number 2. James chapter 2, as we're talking about spiritual maturity. What do we know about James? Someone raise your hand. Tell me what's something you know about the James, the one who wrote this particular book of the Bible. What do you know about him? Someone tell me. Yes, sir, Ed? He pastored the church of Jerusalem. He was definitely the leader of that church of Jerusalem. What else do we know about James? Anybody else know anything we know about James? Yes, sir, John? He and Jesus shared the same home, the same mother, but different fathers, but they grew up together. And certainly, he had the opportunity to grow up with Jesus, and that's a beautiful thing, and went on to be exposed. And I think all of us ought to remind ourselves, why did God give you so much light? Why are you in Hiles Anderson College? You know, there's other people who would love to be in a Bible college. One of the things that's very challenging, sometimes when I get people that are saved in their 30s and 40s and they come to a chapel, they're overwhelmed with the fact that, man, I wish I could have come to a college like this. I didn't even know about it. I didn't know about this. This is great. I wish I could be 18 again. I'd come right back here. Why did God let you be saved before you came and come to a place and prepare for the gospel ministry? You know, you need to understand that God's given you a lot to be blessed by. Of course, James was raised with Jesus and raised with Mary and Joseph. Worked in the same carpenter shop, no doubt, with his older brother Jesus and his brother Jude. As they did in Nazareth, and yet God would send him and put him in a strategic place. He writes to men and women who are all Jewish that are scattered abroad to the 12 tribes and people that knew Jesus, but they were Jewish in nature. He pastored them for the most part in Jerusalem, and they now had been taken to different places of the world, some by virtue of work, but many because of persecution. And he tells them, look, I know you're going through a hard time, but count it all joy when you have different kind of trials that come upon you. knowing this, the trial of your faith worketh patience. He said, you'll find maturity. You'll become perfect and entire, wanting nothing, if you'll learn to handle problems with praise, with prayer for wisdom, and with perseverance to continue through them. Then he tells them you'll need to be strong and mature by how you relate to the Bible. What you do with the Bible determines what God does with you. Everything we do ought to revolve around, it starts with the Bible. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, and without faith it's impossible. And I want to encourage every young lady, every young man, every faculty member, every teacher, every staff member, we ought to have a relationship that is very genuine with the Bible. And we need to receive it with meekness, not just hear it to be entertained, but to say, okay, I want to take what I heard and I want to apply it to my life. I want to make sure my spiritual ears are free from filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. You cannot sit in your car this afternoon and watch something you shouldn't watch, look at a Netflix movie that you shouldn't be watching where people are pulling their clothes off, going into immoral acts, cursing with regularity. You can't watch all the stream of YouTubes and everybody's foul language and expect to sit down with your Bible and receive it the same way. You can't do that. You cannot help but speak of the things which you've seen and heard. He said, you're going to have to get rid of some of that junk. To say yes to the Bible, you're going to have to say no to some other things that are going to complicate your attraction to the Scriptures. And you need the Bible to resist it, but it's just like they write in the front of many Bibles, and I thank God for it. You know, sin will keep you from this book, but this book can also keep you from what? Sin. And maturity comes. It's how we learn to bridle our tongue and learn to be generous, giving, being a giving Christian. God always gives givers more to give. And it's His nature and it should be your nature. And then make sure that you and I are spotless from the world. Then we learn that the Bible teaches that we'll grow in maturity by how we relate to others, how you treat people, having pity upon the poor, understanding a little bit about the poor and not being biased, not being prejudiced against someone else who doesn't have your skin color, your background, that doesn't think life like you think. One of the things that we know that God said, I want you to be witnesses unto me both in Judea, in Jerusalem, in all Judea and into Samaria. What was Samaria like? Samaria was people that were not like us. They didn't worship like us. They didn't talk like us. They didn't eat the same food we ate. They're very different. And yet Jesus continually reminded the disciples, the Samaritans are your responsibility too. You have to relate to them. You have to work with them. And learning maturity is very important to learn to negotiate relationships with people. And now we're talking about service. And let's look at chapter 2. We have just a few moments. Thank you for your patience today. Boy, I've enjoyed being with you as always. Look at verse 14. And the Bible says this, what does it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give him not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, that is, that hath not works, is dead, being by itself or alone. Yea, if a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works, well, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works, or what I do. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. Guess who else believes? The devils also believe and do what? But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Then it began to introduce us to two Old Testament figures. One is Abraham, the other is Rahab. Both of them are on the polar opposite. Abraham is the father of the Jewish nation. Rahab is a Gentile living in Jericho. And yet he uses these two folks. And once again, it kind of goes along with the first part of it, whether she was a harlot and a Gentile. He was a friend of God, mentioned three times, we heard last night, called the friend of God in the Bible, and a fellow who was a man of faith, by faith, and yet both of them exercised faith. They exercised faith by obedience. Look, if you would please, at the rest of the chapter. Verse 21, men, read 21. Ladies, read 22. Let's alternate as we get through the chapter. You ready, men? Ready? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works? Now everybody together, please. For as the body without the spirit is dead, Father, help us just for a look at this. And Lord, I pray that maturity will be a result and that we would grow in maturity. And Lord, we would not show immaturity by a failure to put on the outside what you've put on the inside. And what we've exercised, what we say we are, help us, Lord, to demonstrate it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, we're talking about spiritual maturity, how we handle problems, our relationship with the Bible, our relationship with others, our treatment of people, and now our conduct, our works, our service for the Lord. As you get older, you need to take off your bib and put on your apron. If you're saved, Paul says, work out your own salvation. Now, let me just make this clear. I think this is clear to everybody here, but if you're wondering about this, don't wonder about it. It is faith in Jesus and what Jesus did for you on the cross when he died, he was buried, and rose again, that determines your eternal destiny. It's faith in Christ and him alone that determines your eternal what? But it is works and service for Lord that determines your eternal rewards. Many Christians are not convinced in God's rewarding process. And that's why they do not participate in reckless abandonment of service, works, giving, things they don't trust the Lord. And by the way, you're going to have to go through that lifetime yourself. Can I trust God? If I do this, will God bless me? I had this precious girl that came and to me today. And she said, Pastor, I just feel like I want to share this with you. I worked and I earned money to go to college here. But I've been here and I haven't made any money. I can't make the money I used to make. And so I thought to myself, should I keep giving the Faith Promise since I don't have any money? I have no more money coming in. And the Lord impressed my heart, just keep giving every week what you committed to do. And she said, Pastor, I don't know how this happened, but someone paid my whole December bill. All the money I was saving to do that, someone took care of it, which is far more than what I could have given to the Lord in Faith Promise. You know what that takes to do that? F-A-I-T-H. It takes faith. It's obeying the Lord. But faith without works is dead. It's like having a glove on a table. But that glove can do nothing unless there is a hand inside of it. Faith, it's like a body. The body is, if a body's there but doesn't have the spirit inside of it, it can't get up. It can't talk. It can't listen. It can't respond. It has to have the soul, the spirit inside of it for it to be affected. And the Bible's using the same analogy with our faith. Our faith, if we have faith, then he says, James, and he's a hard hitter. He hits you right in the snot box. He said, look, if you got faith, show me your faith by your conduct, by your work. And remember, the Lord Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may what? You know, the truth of the matter is they can't see our faith unless we work. The only way they can see us is if we demonstrate that our faith is real. Paul told Timothy, he said, Timothy, the end of the commandment, the reason I gave you the Bible is threefold. Number one is so you'll have charity out of a pure heart. So you'll love God and others out of a pure heart. Now, that's no walk in the park, and you can't have that unless you're obedient to the commandment of the Lord. All of us have stinking thinking and bad motives from time to time. I have them. And you know what checks my motives? A relationship with the Bible. So you'll have a pure heart. You'll have a charity. You'll love God, and you'll love others. So many Christians, if we're not careful, we got angles. We got angles. We've got things we're trying to get to happen on our own terms. And we need to have a charity, have a pure heart for others and a heart for Him. Number two, we have to have a conscience that is a good conscience. The Word of God, you get in the Word of God and it's going to straighten your conscience out. so that you're not violating your conscience. Well, if you start texting something you shouldn't text, you know, the Spirit of God's gonna stimulate your conscience to say you shouldn't be doing that. That's wrong. If you're watching something you shouldn't watch, the Spirit of God's gonna stimulate your conscience. And you know what helps us do that is a relationship with the Bible, the end of the commandment. And then the last thing he says, that you have a faith that is unfeigned. That means it's not fake, it's genuine. People appreciate genuine people. And you know how he says, if you have faith, it'll be unfeigned, but you'll have to work. You have to serve. As we mature in our Christian life, we need to really be genuine. People don't like a fake. I don't like them. You don't like them. We appreciate people who say they have faith and then their life backs up their faith. I've said this before. People don't trust you. They usually don't trust what you tell them, what you say to them. It's so important that we do that. He said, now maturity will come when if you say you have faith, then show your faith by your works. And your works are based upon your faith. What you believe determines your actions. Doctrine determines your decisions, your direction, and your destiny, your actions. So we find maturity by service. We find maturity by putting it out. And let me just say to you, how you behave is very important. How you conduct yourself in chapel. We talked about that a little bit today. What you do on the bus route. Some of you get out there and you just clown around all weekend long. It basically is just about it. I'm tired. I don't want to do this, or I'm just going to do this. And you're not focused. And you may be doing what you're doing, but you're not helping God's cause and you're not showing maturity. I'm not talking about, I think you got to use your time wisely. I think it's very wise. If you see guys out there playing soccer and you can go out and play soccer, you need to do that. That's a way they can see your faith for the purpose of getting them the gospel, inviting them to church. There's times for that. There's you girls, you can go in there and sometimes help a single mom do her dishes or organize something or do something that is not what you go to Chicago for, but you demonstrate those things. But you also need to exercise wisdom in what I do. And works are very important. You know, the Bible tells us to consider one another and to provoke each other to love and good works. One of the things you want to do is you want to love God and others more, and you want to do more for God and others. I always value people that challenge me to do that. But if you have faith, he says, now demonstrate it. And then he uses the two Old Testament figures, Abraham and Rahab. Two people on the polar opposite spectrums of life. A man who was called by God out of the Ur of the Chaldees. He is a father of the Jewish people. He's a friend of God. And Rahab, an harlot living on the wall of Jerusalem. He wasn't worthy to be saved, but he had faith. He had faith to offer his son Isaac. It was a huge thing. She had faith to hide some spies, risk her life, and then to put out a scarlet thread out of her window, believing that God would preserve her and get her family in that house whenever the walls of Jericho went down. Either one of those things, he said, you know, we can say, oh, yeah, she believed the God of Israel. She believed the God of the Jews. But you know how she demonstrated that? By hiding them, taking care of them, being hospitable, and putting a scarlet robe out of her window. Abraham said, yeah, I believe God. He's been good to me. He took me out of the earth of the Chaldees. Now give your son. Okay. And he did. And God honored him. And God still honors people of faith. You know, one of the most beautiful things that all of us are blessed with is people who put their faith to works. I'm working with the radio broadcast and the radio ministry and really just taking the time, two times a year, where we asked our listeners, would you consider helping us? And the truth of the matter is, how many believe that radio helps people get saved? I can see people that get saved. Yes, I interviewed to a lady just now on the radio just before I came into chapel, and she wept as she told about listening to the radio, and she kept hearing people have testimonies of salvation. And she's like, what is a testimony? I don't even know what a testimony is. But in a dark place with a Bible and a gospel track and a radio broadcast, she left that radio. She turned off the radio. She went to her room. She knelt on her bed and she asked Jesus to save her. And she said that was the most wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing. But you know, the truth of the matter is, I can say, does radio bless people? Yes. How do I prove that I believe that? You prove it by your works. Prove it by participating and saying, what can I do to help that? And you know, the same way in all of Christianity, it's the same way. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for letting me speak to the young people today. I pray that I would demonstrate great maturity, and I pray that, God, they would grow in maturity, and Lord, abstain from things that do not help us grow in you. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus.